Get out of town as fast as humanly possible. Run, Forrest, run. Because lust is a superior foe.
You got porn in your pocket. Meaning anywhere, anytime, all day long.
And Job said, I've made a covenant with mine eyes.
What do you have to do? What lengths do you have to go to? Whatever it is, get it out of your life. Stop it.
You fight it as though your very life were threatened, which it is.
But it's not about fighting by yourself. It's about fighting with brothers who are right there with you. And I am one of them. We are in this together because this is Fight Club. In the early 1800s, a little Frenchman caused a big stink. His name was Napoleon Bonaparte. You've probably heard of him before. He is one of the single greatest generals of all time. He was born in a tiny town. He had no quick and easy path to get to the top, but he was just elite at absolutely shredding every single thing that ever came across his path. All of the empires of Europe tried everything they possibly could to defeat Napoleon, and no matter what they tried, he would destroy them. It was remarkable, and he did it again and again and again all across six different wars. And it was just, it was a bloodbath. It was one of the most remarkable things in all of history. And he is honestly thought of as probably the greatest general in all of history. Until one day, the commanders of Europe realized that there was one strategy they hadn't yet tried. And that was this. They called it the Trachtenberg Plan. When Napoleon shows up to fight, you run away. It was that simple. Every single time Napoleon showed up to fight, or no matter where he showed up or who he showed up to fight, the strategy was run away. And man, did it work like a charm. This absolutely changed the entire trajectory of history from here on out, because a bunch of armies decided that whenever Napoleon showed up, they weren't going to fight. And it's because they realized and they finally accepted that Napoleon was a superior foe. What the commanders of Europe realized is that Napoleon has to beat you. If you just run away, he's forced to chase you. And then all of the strategies that make him such a great general become moot, become absolutely useless. And all of a sudden, it changed the whole tide of the war. Look, this is Fight Club. Everything that we talk about here is all about how to fight back against lust, how to reclaim your life, and how to be the man that you were called to be. Fight is literally in the name. But what we're talking about here, and what every single thing that we already have talked about and that we're going to talk about, is not actually about fighting. It may have seemed that way, and we've used very specific language to make it seem like you were in a battle every single day for this war. And yes, of course, it is a battle, but it is not a question of fight or flight. It is a strategy of fight by flight. I mean, if you think about everything that we've already talked about, right? Eye discipline, thought discipline, environment discipline, building a strong routine, every single thing seems like it is a strategy to fight, but in reality, it is a strategy to run away. This is the Fight Club paradox, and it may seem cowardice or even a little stupid to run away from a fight, but it's not. This is how you have victory over all sexual sin. We're not talking about holding the line. We're talking about running away. And this is how the Bible talks about it too. Look, there's a Bible verse that says, stand firm against the devil. But there's also another Bible verse that says, flee from sexual immorality. So in practice, what this looks like is if you were to wake up tomorrow morning and walk out of your bedroom and be confronted with the literal devil himself, horns and all, red skin, the tail, fire breathing, whatever it is, you are called to put your fists up and stand your ground. But if the same thing were to happen, you were to wake up tomorrow morning, walk out of your room, and you were to see a 21-year-old TikTok influencer, yeah, you're supposed to run away. Get out of town as fast as humanly possible. Run, Forrest, run. Because lust is a superior foe. It will beat you every single time. You may think that you can put your fists up, stand in the octagon, and do what you need to do to have victory over lust, but it will never work. Not a single time. Let me speak from experience. I can't tell you the amount of times in my own life, in my own battle, I have tried to stand my ground and fight back against lust. And you know what's happened every single time? I have been battered and bruised and sent away, you know, with my tail between my legs, licking my wounds again and again and again, because lust is a superior foe. Lust will beat you every single time you try. So don't fight it. Run away from it. Flee sexual immorality. That's what the Bible verse in 1 Corinthians 6 says. I mean, let me just read it for you. 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20. Run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. It's all right there. The only way that you are ever going to have victory in this battle is if you run away. It is a superior foe. It will destroy you every single time. But if you run away, then it has no chance to beat you. Look, lust has to face you head on. That's the only way that it can get you. It has to get you to engage with it so it can drag you along until all of a sudden you find yourself in failure. But if you never engage with it, if you run away, it can't do anything about it. It can try to chase you down, but the only thing it can do is try to get you to turn around and stop running, which if you just keep running, you never run into that problem. Lust's entire tactic, its entire strategy of temptation requires you to engage. So if you run away, if you want nothing to do with it, if you flee from it every single time, it will have no power over you. This is how we're called to fight. This is what the Bible says we're supposed to do. It's so obvious and clear to us that we are not supposed to fight, and yet we are convinced by the enemy, convinced by ourselves, our own ego, or whatever it may be, that we need to stand our ground and we need to fight back. No, what we need to do is run. But the reason we still call this Fight Club, and the reason why we still talk about it like it's a battle and like it is a fight, is because it is. But it's not a fight to stand your ground. It is a fight to run away, because every single time temptation comes and faces you, or you are faced with an urge or whatever it may be, every single time, it will be a fight to choose to run. I mean, that's what we're doing at the end of the day, is we are choosing to run away. And that choice will turn out to be the fight of your life, because temptation is tempting. Lust is attractive. You want to keep returning to it. I mean, it is comfortable at this point. You have done it for so long and it's become so ingrained in who you are, honestly, that you are going to have to fight to run away from it. And it's going to be hard. It is going to be a fight. There's going to be days where it feels like you have to decide to run away 1,000 times, where it just feels relentless. Every time you run away, all of a sudden coming out of the next tree line is another temptation. You have to choose to run from that too. You're going to feel like you are just absolutely losing all this ground and everything is going wrong, but it's not. I promise you. You're just dealing with a really strong temptation right now. And if you choose to keep running, keep fleeing, then eventually you will clear that tree line and it will have no ability to pull you back in. But how do you do it? What does it look like to actually flee from sexual immorality? What is the tactic to fight by flight? How does this work? What's the strategy? Well, it's something that we call the fight protocol. And let me tell you, this is one of the things that I am most passionate about, because it is how I fight against lust every single day. I use the fight protocol thousands of times, no joke, thousands of times a day, because it is the practical, nitty-gritty how-to of fighting against lust in day-to-day life. And it's 3 steps. Name it, reject it, replace it. Let's break it down. Number one, name it. What this really is talking about is identifying lust. Look, lust is all throughout our lives. We live in a world right now that is so sexualized and so tempting that it is really hard to honestly not be tempted throughout the day, thousands of times throughout the day. And so what we need to do first and foremost is to get really, really good at identifying lust. And as soon as we see it, we need to call it out for exactly what it is. And lust shows itself in all sorts of places throughout our lives. You know, we see it when we're out on the street, or even when we're in school or at work, or with coworkers, or when we're on social media, or when we're on our phones, or when we're doing literally anything. It can even show up in church. Lust shows itself in so many places. So many things are corrupted by lust, and so many things your mind tries to corrupt into lust. I mean, how many times does a friend say a joke that's not sexual at all in nature, and yet your mind makes it that way? Or you find a way to find the innuendo there, or the euphemism, and all of a sudden, something that isn't tempting at all becomes super tempting. This is why we need to be on guard 24/7. What we need to get good at is awareness, is being aware of our surroundings, of being able to take in everything that's going on, and being completely in tune and looking around for anything that might be tempting, anything that might be lustful, because that's the only way that we can then name it and be able to move on to the next step. What we need to get really good at is awareness, is being completely aware of our surroundings, of being on our toes, looking around like a sentry standing on a wall back in ancient times, looking over the horizon for anything that might be a threat. Because if you're not constantly in tune with your surroundings and with what's going on in your mind, or with your eyes, or with your environment, then you're going to get surprised by lust constantly. And all of a sudden, a temptation is going to come that you could otherwise have seen way far out and been able to prepare for and deal with. And instead, it comes all the way up to you and punches you in the face because you weren't ready
ready. You weren't looking around. You weren't prepared. So awareness is the first step in this fight. It is the first thing that you need to do and get really good at day to day is being aware so that when lust comes, you can name it and call it out and be like, ooh, no, I know exactly what that is. That is lust. You see yourself, your eye discipline getting bad. You know, you're looking where you shouldn't look. That is lust. No, call it out. Name it every single time. A tempting thought comes in, a memory comes in, a fantasy comes in, whatever it is, anything that leads you to lust, you need to get super, super good at identifying and calling out. So name it. The second you see anything tempting or you feel anything tempting, name it. And one of the best ways to be able to identify if something is tempting is how does your physical body react? Look, when you are thinking about lust or when lust, you know, gets past the first perimeter, you have physical reactions to that. Your heart rate increases. You get that little burning under your skin. You get a twitch below the belt. There are all sorts of responses that you know what it's like when your body is preparing for lust, when your body is kicked into that gear. And so the second that you feel those things from now on, that should be a trigger to be like, oh, there's lust somewhere around here. Where is it? Where is it? Let me find it. And then once you find it, call it out, name it. Get really good at identifying the things and the breach points that lust uses to get into your life. Because there's common ones. There's certain things that lust uses again and again without you ever noticing. And it's just like an easy highway, honestly, to get right into your life. And so if you can start to identify those and get good at calling them out and be like, ooh, this is a way that lust gets in, or you identify it. And then the next day, the same thing happens. You're like, ooh, no, I know this. I remember this from yesterday. This is a lust point where lust is getting into my life. And so then you can either, you know, clog up those holes or just be ready for it so that when lust tries to come in through that back door or whatever it is, that you can be like, ah, nope, that's lust. I'm not letting that get in. So that's the first step. Name it. As soon as you find lust, as soon as you identify lust anywhere in your life, name it, call it out and say explicitly, that is lust. And then once you've identified it, now we can deal with it. And we deal with it like Jesus dealt with temptation. Look, in Matthew chapter 4, it talks about Jesus being led into the desert where he was then tempted by the devil. And when Jesus, the king of the universe, was tempted by the devil, you know what he did? He didn't use his own willpower. He didn't use his strength. He didn't call on his own power by his own name or anything like that. No. He did something super simple and super practical that we can use too. He said every single time, he was tempted three times. Every time he was tempted, he replied, first and foremost, the scriptures say. And then he quoted scripture. How well do you know scripture? This is one of the most important things that you can have in your arsenal for this battle. This is your most potent tool. The Bible says that the word of God, memorized scripture, is your primary offensive weapon against threats of every kind, and especially against lust. This is how Jesus fought temptation, and it's how we need to fight temptation too. This is how we reject lust. As soon as we identify it, we can say, no, that's lust. I don't want anything to do with it. And then we can speak God's truth over it. Look, anytime temptation comes into your life and tries to convince you to fall back into failure, it is just a lie from the enemy. And the best way to counter any lie from the enemy is to use God's truth. And God's truth is available to you in the Bible. But if you just leave it there as something on your table or the phone, the app on your phone, and that's the only time that you have the Bible, then when you get tempted, you say, ooh, this is lust. What are you going to do? Open your Bible and try and find a verse that's applicable, or open your Bible app and maybe Google like something for lust. It's not going to work. You're not going to be able to fight that well, especially because this happens thousands of times a day. Thousands of times you're going to be attacked with lust and you're going to tell me you're going to open your Bible and just try and magically find a verse that's going to work every time? No. The best way to do this is to memorize scripture, is to have it ready. I mean, if you don't have scripture memorized, then you are a soldier standing in a trench with an empty weapon. Yes, it is a powerful weapon, and if you can use it right, it can absolutely destroy the enemy. But if you never load it by memorizing scripture, then you're not ready. You have an empty weapon, and the second the first wave comes over the top and you're being attacked and overrun, there's nothing you can do because you're sitting there fiddling, trying to get the mag back into your gun and be ready to fight. No, be ready to fight right now. And the way that you do that is you load your weapon, memorize scripture, go and find verses that you can use to help you fight against lust of every kind. And let me just give a couple to you right now. I'm just going to read them for you. Here are several examples that you can use and you can go and memorize to then use as a weapon against temptations of every kind. Number one, great for eye discipline. Job 31:1. I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a young woman. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, God's will is for you to be holy, so stay away from all sexual sin. 1 Peter 2:11, dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners, keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Romans 13:14, instead, clothe yourselves with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. 2 Timothy 2:22, run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. 1 Corinthians 6:18-20. I'm going to tell you my paraphrase version because this is my primary weapon that I use when I'm tempted, which is flee from sexual immorality, for you are not your own. You were bought at a high price, so honor God with your body. Proverbs 6:25, don't lust for her beauty. Don't let her coy glances seduce you. Psalm 119:9, how can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. These are just a few examples of the verses that you can use, that you can memorize to then reject temptation. So then in the process, as soon as you find yourself, you know, tempted or you see lust in any way, you say, nope, that's lust. And then you reject it. Flee from sexual immorality, for you are not your own. You were bought at a high price. So you must honor God with your body. This is your power source. This is your primary offensive weapon. This is how you fight back against every single type of temptation and lust and whatever it is, whether it be actual lust or whether it be a stress or whether it be, you know, a memory of a past failure or shame or a lie of the enemy, no matter what it is, there is a scripture verse that you can use to speak directly to it, speak God's truth over it, and it takes all of its power away. So that's reject it. And then the last one is replace it. Look, this is the action step. This is where the running actually takes place, right? First, you name it, you call it out for what it is, then you reject it, you speak God's truth over it, and then you run from it. You think about something else. You go and do something else. Look, what you were doing when you were being tempted clearly isn't working because it caused you to be tempted, or whatever you were looking at or whatever you were thinking about or whatever it is that led you to that temptation clearly isn't working. It's clearly leading you to temptation. So you need to move. You need to change your strategy. You need to get up physically if you have to. You need to change what you're thinking about, change what you're looking at. This is how you replace things. Because when you reject lust with the word of God, yes, that's where your power comes from. But as soon as you reject it, if you don't move on to something else, you're just creating a vacuum. And you're probably still in a situation where that temptation could still come back very easily. And so if you don't fill that void, then lust is just going to come sweeping back in and you're going to be left right back where you started. You're going to have to name it and reject it again. And so this is why we talk about replacing it. This is why we're so focused on this. I mean, we talked about it a ton in both the environment day and the routine day, and we talked about it on the eye discipline day and in the thought discipline day, because replacing it is how you move on from lust. Lust only has the power that you give it. And so if you give it space to take over your life, it's gonna fill it. Lust is absolutely 100% of the time going to fill the space that you give it. So don't give it space. Even if it's beforehand, even if you know that you're gonna be in a tempting situation, maybe you have a long weekend with nothing to do, fill your time. Replace what could be used for lust with something good. Schedule something with your friends. Go out on a hike or a long walk, or do like a day trip to go somewhere. Do anything to just get out and replace what might have been used for lust for something good. And when it, whether it's the thought or an action or whether it's something with your eyes, no matter what it is, every single time you identify lust, replace it with something better. Here's a couple examples. If it's with your eyes or with your thoughts, think about your favorite vacation or your favorite place on the earth. Think about, you know, something, a goal that gives you like purpose. You know, maybe you want to start a business one day, or maybe you have a dream for what you want to do later with your life. Like, think about those things. Think about a favorite hobby, something that you love to do, and just fully immerse yourself in it. Like, bring back all of the memories of your favorite times doing it, or all the things that you're excited for in the future. Fill your mind with those good things. Think about the words to a song. Focus your mind on something else. Do a mental math problem. This is one of my favorite ones. Just like a quick fix. If I'm like at work and something is like all of a sudden really tempting to me and I just need to get it out quick so I can refocus on what I was doing, sometimes I'll just be like, what's 17 times 8? And then just like try and figure out that mental math problem. And that totally changes your mind. It wipes out all of the thoughts that you already had in your brain, because your brain needs all of its capacity in order to think about those other things. So just focus on other things. If it's an action, if you have an overwhelming thought and you're like, I need to get up and move, like what I'm doing right now is clearly not working, maybe go for a walk or go for a run, or put on worship music and just lay there and sing it out with all your heart. Or maybe call a friend and just catch up with someone for a while. Maybe transcribe Bible chapters. This is something my dad has talked about and one of my favorite pastors talks about all the time. Like, just sit down with like the book of Romans and just literally write out word for word each chapter. It's a great little tactic. You know, maybe plan your day for tomorrow. That's another great thing to do. If it's late at night and you don't know what to do, get your mind thinking about tomorrow. Make a checklist of everything that you want to do. The biggest thing is just don't do things that are adjacent to lust. You know, like if you're trying to like replace lust with something else, don't replace it with watching a TV show or scrolling on social media or listening to bad music, because that's going to make it worse. It's not going to make it better. It's going to give you more opportunities for temptation, not less. Just don't do that. That's a little caveat. But the point is to just replace every single thing that could possibly have to do with temptation or lust with something better. Be ruthless about this. Every single thing that is possibly tempting to you must be replaced every single time. So no matter what you are doing throughout the day or how many times that it happens, every single time temptation of any kind comes, you need to name it, call it out for what it is lust, reject it with God's truth, and replace it with something better. If you can do those three things, I promise you, your fight will get so much easier. This is the day-to-day fight. This is the grind. This is how you actually fight by flight for victory. So I encourage you today, make a habit of practicing these three steps every single day. And like I said, you're going to have to do them a lot of times. Temptation shows itself everywhere and anywhere it possibly can. For me, especially at the beginning of my journey, I remember having to do this literally 10,000 times a day for a solid couple weeks. And even today, I still have to do it several hundred to 1,000 times a day. There are so many things that will come up. And as soon as I see it, I'm like, that's lust. Flee from sexual immorality, for you are not your own. You were bought at a high price. You must honor God with your body. And then I'll think about skiing, or I'll think about, you know, going back to see my family soon, or any of those things that I can change my thoughts to. And I do it again and again and again. There's times where I will do it and move on. And then 5 minutes later, it'll happen again, and I'll do it and I'll move on. And then it'll happen again, and I'll do it and I'll move on. It's just, you have to be ruthless. You have to just keep going. It's going to get exhausting. It's going to get annoying. But this is the nitty gritty how-to of breaking free. This is the daily labor of freedom. So starting today, practice those three steps. Name it, reject it, and replace it. And if you can stay consistent and committed to using those three steps, I promise you, your battle will change for the better. Learn to make this an automatic response to every temptation. No matter what comes your way, name it, reject it, and replace it. Because every time that you use the protocol, Napoleon gets a little weaker. So from now on, use the protocol to run as fast and as hard as you can every single day. Because this is what fighting actually looks like.